I want to turn your attention to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. See how good it is to have Brother and Sister Cabano with us tonight. Amen. We are thrilled that they are here to be with us and Sarah. You know, we know that they're here for Sarah. But we're glad that they're with us tonight. Amen. It's also good to have Brother Sam Salinas with us here today. And we appreciate him as well. Sister Sarah's cousin. Praise God. Amen. Isn't God good to us? Praise the Lord. All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. The Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy 1, verse number 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so tonight, I want to continue in a series that we have been doing. I believe it's number 10, maybe 9. I don't want to say it's number 10. But we're going to talk about In Defense of the Lost, SOS. In Defense of the Lost, and SOS. Praise God. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Father, we love you and we need you tonight.
Oh, sweet Spirit of God, move in this place here today. Let your Spirit so abundantly. God, this is something that I want us to know. I want us to practice it. I wanted this to bury it down deep in our hearts. Lord, I ask you to give me messages, Lord Jesus. I believe that you have. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. I want to approach this message here tonight. I do not have very many notes. My wife and my family will tell you that that's dangerous. The more notes that I have, the quicker we get out. The less notes that I have, the longer I tend to go. But I want to be careful and delicate about the way that I approach this subject here tonight. Simply because I have prayed about it much, and I have prayed that God would give me messages concerning revival, and give me messages for sinners and messages for the lost, and I believe that this is one of them. And God moved upon me in a very specific way when He dealt with me concerning this message here tonight. I did not have this in my original plan to preach in defense of the lost. There are several other things that I plan on touching before we move on from the series. But this came to me in such a powerful way, and I knew that we had to stop and deal with it. I want this to be a message that does more than just touches the ears of the hearer. But somehow or another, I pray that the responsibility and the burden of such a message as this would actually get into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And not because that I'm preaching it. I would want it to be this way for whosoever would be preaching this message here tonight. This is something that we have got to become. This is something that we have got to shoulder and to take the responsibility and the burden upon us, and that is to reach the lost. To reach the lost. Amen. I know that there are those that can come in. They can drive by. They can find us on a Google review. Some people, there's so many people out there in this world today, they have no idea what Pentecost even is. They have no idea what Pentecost is, and they cannot pronounce apostolic. And so it's not like the majority of them are saying, I know that my answer is at a Pentecostal church. I need to find a Pentecostal church. It is those that have some type of experience, some type of history with Pentecost that would reach out to a Pentecostal church, whether it be a backslider or just a former Sunday school student that has been in our classes somewhere, or a place that grandma and grandpa may have bought them a few times before in the past and visited. And maybe they live next door to the church and knew about a Pentecostal church. Something within them would tell them that they need to find and to look for Pentecostal church. Others are going to, first of all, not know even what to do, not know where to look, where to cry out to, who to cry out to, or where to go. And the prayers of the saints has got to be able to meet in the spirit with their spirit, and that would draw them. This is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual warfare, and there are things that can be accomplished even in consistent and faithful praying. That is not the complete answer. We've got to be a witness. Jesus said that we should receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and that we should be witnesses unto him both in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That is our responsibility. And it does not fall on the preacher alone, the pastor. It doesn't fall upon the leaders of the church. But it is to all that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls us ambassadors. Ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we are representatives of the kingdom of God, representing the kingdom of God and his glory. And so the ministry, a few verses before that, 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, the Bible teaches us that the ministry of reconciliation has been given unto us, unto the saints of God. The ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world unto Christ. We have got to let this world know. And I'm afraid that too many of us can take a look at the world in general and see the plethora of humanity that is out there, knowing that they will be lost and go to a devil's hell and it not affect us. I feel that that is the problem with the church. That is the problem with Christianity today, in that we can become too comfortable, that we are totally comfortable with coming service after service after service and never inviting anybody to come to the house of God. And so my question to you today is, does it bother you that somebody is going to hell? Does it bother you that your neighbors are going to hell? Does it bother you that the general population of this world is going to hell? And somebody can say that that's a harsh saying. That is reality. For the Bible teaches us that broad is the way. Amen. Broad is the way. Wide is the way. Broad is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. But because that straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Praise God. We live in a world today where there are very, very few sinners, according to their definition. Amen. Nobody wants to classify themselves as a sinner. Some would classify themselves and say that they sin, but they don't classify themselves as a sinner. They're a saved saint, and it is a lie that hell has sold them. and they have accepted it and bought it. And so I looked up some things here this afternoon, and Wikipedia or the dictionary.com would define several of these things and would teach us that a sinner is a person who transgresses against divine law by committing an immoral act or acts. And if you commit sin, then you are a sinner. And the Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we know that David spoke concerning that in sin he was his mother conceived him, and he was shapen in iniquity. We know these things. That is the case of all of us. We were born into sin, and we took on the nature of a rebellion, and we acted out accordingly. And so we needed salvation. Every one of us needed salvation. This entire world needs salvation. Amen. Praise God. Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came to save sinners from their sin. Teaches us that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not only did he come to find you in your sin, but he came to save you from your sin. Praise God. And so there are some things here tonight that we believe. And if we believe in and upon a certain thing, then in reality it draws the exact opposite in belief. Or in other words, if you believe in God, then you're going to have to believe in a devil. And some people would say, well, I don't necessarily believe in God. I believe in a supernatural power. And if you believe in a supernatural of the positive, then there also must be a supernatural power of the negative. And if you believe that there is a heaven, then there obviously must be a hell, or otherwise there is no reason for heaven. If you believe that there are people that it takes to be saved, then obviously there are going to be people that will be lost. And if you believe that there is the terms of saved and lost, then that represents and means that you believe that there is right and you believe that there is wrong. And so with these things, we come to the conclusion that there is a lost and there is saved, and that we must be saved if we're going to escape the pit of hell, if we're going to escape a lost and eternal eternity, a destination of horror. Then there is the necessity that we are saved. We know that many came to Jesus, and that even Nicodemus by night, and before he was ever asked or even asking the question, the Lord spoke to him and said, Nicodemus, except a man is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we explained it to him again, that except a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to know that Nicodemus in reality was a good man. Nicodemus was of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was a person like a governor. He was an elite. He was very studious. He was very smart. He was very wealthy. And he did the things what was right. But Jesus told him that except that he is born again of water and the Spirit, that he should be lost. Praise God. Many people that say that if they believe on the Lord, they should be saved. Acts 2 and 21 teaches us that. 20 and 21 teaches us that to all that call upon the name of the Lord, that they would be saved. That doesn't mean that because that you called upon the name of the Lord, that you are saved. But it is meaning that you called for help and help showed up. Help showed up. Amen. It's like calling the ambulance. Just because you call the ambulance doesn't mean that you're saved. and everything is okay. Amen. But the ambulance is going to show up, and the ambulance is going to help you and get you healthy and help you to, and the doctors are going to help you to turn your life around and to fix some problems. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He's going to show up, and he's going to tell you what you need to do. Praise God. Amen. Those that want to say, I'd rather take the words of Jesus rather than the words of the Apostle Peter, Acts 2 and 38, where Peter said, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they say, I'd rather take Jesus' words of being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know what? All you got to do is just put a little concept with that. Just think a little bit about that, and where that Jesus would say that you would be baptized in the name. Let me just tell you, if he wasn't referring to a name, you know how he would have said that? He would have said it like this, that you would baptize them in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But that's not what he said. He said that they would be baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God. And it's those people that say, I'd rather take Jesus' words there. Amen. But they don't want to take Jesus' words in Luke chapter number 7. Amen. Where Jesus spoke and said, not everyone that cries or says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Amen. But when it's you take it as a whole, and when you begin to understand it, amen, that you can understand what must you do to be saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The book of Timothy or Titus teaches us that let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. You're not going to be saved continuing on in your sin. You're not going to be saved living the same way that you've always lived. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. You've got to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He went on in chapter number 7 where he said, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all of the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. You got to cleanse yourself of the filthiness of the flesh, the fleshly deeds, the carnal deeds. You got to cleanse yourself of those things. You got to cleanse yourself in the spirit, and you've got to perfect holiness in the sight of God. Hallelujah. It behooves us to understand that Jesus spoke of hell a whole lot more than he spoke of heaven. I would submit to you tonight, amen, and tell you that those individuals that have a problem with preachers preaching, amen, what they want to call rules and regulations, those people that have a problem with a preacher standing up and saying, there's only one way to be saved. Ephesians 4 and 5 teaches us one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in us all. These are not my words. These are biblical words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't have a problem with the preacher. You got a problem with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to line up to the things of God. I want to submit to the words of God. Why? Because I want to be saved. Amen. Tell me what I must do to be saved. Tell me what I've got to do to inherit, amen, heaven and make heaven as my home. It is a fact that the Bible teaches us that there is coming a day that all will stand before the Lord, and everybody will be judged according to their works, and that every thought would be brought up in judgment. Amen. That's not a preacher being too hard. That's God telling you what to expect. Amen. That's God telling you how that it's going to happen. That's God letting you know, hey, if you want to be saved, there's some things that you need to take care of. thereof today. That's not a God of hate. That's not a God, amen, that wants you to be lost. That's a God that wants you to be saved. And he's telling you everything that you need to do to be saved. God will never send me to hell. No, but you can send yourself there, friend. Amen. For when that day comes, there will be many that will stand before the Lord and say, Lord, did not we cast out devils in your name? And he's going to say unto them, depart from me, ye that worked in rebellion, for I never knew you. Let's love the Lord today. If the Bible tells us that God loves me no matter what I do, then I'll accept it. If the Bible tells us that God loves me, no matter how that I am, then I will believe that. But that's not what the Bible tells us. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen, when you believe on the Lord, amen, he said in the book of John, he said that if you believe on the Lord as the scripture has said, there is going to be an experience that is going to come out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he concerning the Spirit. Acts chapter number 19, Paul asked John the Baptist's disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And they got a message concerning salvation. The Bible said that when the jailer's house and all of them believed upon the Lord, that they were baptized. It takes more than just believing on God. It takes more than just confessing the Lord. You've got to believe, but you've also got to repent, and you've also got to be baptized. And you've also got to be born again of the Spirit. I need it. I've got to have it. I've partaken of it because I want to be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus said that hell was going to be a place of torment. A place where the worm dieth not, where there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. It is a place that you're going to spend eternity in forever. Not just a grave. Not just a place like that. Some people said, well, that's what hell means in the word Sheol, that it's just a grave. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelations that there's coming a time that death and hell will give up those which are therein, and they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Oh God, save us from this world. Save us from carnal ways. Save us from worldly lust. Save us from worldly passions. Amen. There ought to be a great desire within inside of us that no matter what it takes, I've got to be saved. If I've got to lay everything down, then that's what I'll do. If I've got to erase all of my friends, then that's what I'll do. If I've got to forsake family, then that's what I'll do. The most important thing, oh yeah, Jesus said, you'll be hated for my name's sake, that men would despise you and reject you, whatever it takes. You got to have a mindset, a heart set. God, if my family won't live for you, I will. God, if my friends won't live for you, I will. God, if the lost loved ones won't live for you, I will. Whatever it takes, I must be saved. Hallelujah. Can I just say it was war when you came down to the altar, when you knelt down at the altar and you began to repent.
And that preacher that had preached unto you, amen, and told you what you needed to do, and you felt conviction, and you came down to the altar, and it was war, and the devil was trying to hold on to you, and the devil was trying to tell you everything that you were going to have to give up, everything that you were going to have to stop doing, amen, all these things, and he fought with you with vehemence, desire, amen, but God was reaching for you, and God was helping you. Why? It's because it's not his will that any should die lost. I want you to know that God will do whatever it takes in order to save you. God will put pressure in your life to save you. God will reach for you, amen, to save you. God doesn't care where you're at. You can be in the bar and God will reach for you. You can be in the dope house and God will reach for you. God will go to the end of the world to save an individual, for it's not his will that any should die lost. You're not going to wind up in hell and think to yourself, I wish somebody would have told me. I wish somebody would have helped me. I wish God would have reached for me. What a terrible God to send me to this place. But you're going to be reminded. Every individual that tried to friend you, you're going to be reminded of every message that you ever heard preached in a church called Salvation. You're going to be reminded of every opportunity that you had to come to an altar. God desires to save you. God will reach for you, for he loved the world that he gave his own. The Bible teaches us that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the plan. And the plan was with God. And the plan was God. He knew that humanity in his foreknowledge, he knew that humanity was going to falter and fail. And he knew that there was going to have to be a sacrifice. And he knew that he was going to take glorious, amen, and royal blood. And he said, I'll do it. I'll robe myself in flesh. I'll come down and I'll endure the affliction. I'll endure the shame. I'll endure the pain. I'll endure it all so that they might be saved. And when the fullness of time was come, he came down through the womb of a woman and robed himself in flesh, taking on sinful flesh, that he might be able to redeem us from our sins. He was despised and rejected among men. Amen. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was whipped. Amen. He was even looked to be stoned. Amen. At one particular time. But he counted it all worthy. Amen. In order to see your soul saved. What a love. What a love. What a love. In knowing what he was going to face, knowing what he was going to go through, and yet he did it anyway, knowing that the ones that he would die for would spit in his face, knowing that the ones that he was coming to redeem would slap him and place a crown of thorns upon his head, knowing that the ones that he came to try to heal would beat his back with a cat of nine tails, he knew everything, and yet he did it. Why? They're lost, and they're on their way to a devil's hell, a place that I did not create for them, a place that was only meant for the devil and his angels. I've got to redeem them. I've got to reach them. I've got to set them free. I've got to give them hope. I am the plan. I've got to save them. But there's a problem. And the problem is called life. The problem is that God gave man 70 years to live.
And so if even the man Christ Jesus lived to be the older than Methuselah, there's still thousands of years that's got to continue on. How long is he going to walk the face of the earth? How many times does he have to go through an awful crucifixion? How many times does he have to confront sinners? Amen. And that they and tell them that before Abraham was, I am. How many times and how many years would he have to go through the affliction and the shame and the pain and the anguish of it all? Amen. He did not have the time to do that for the human Christ. And so what did he do? He raised up disciples and he breathed upon them. And he said prophetically, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, now you're going to be a witness. Because what time would inhibit the man Christ Jesus from accomplishing? Amen. He put within the human body. He put within the souls of saints. And he said, look, I am committing the job that I come to do. I am committing that into your hands. We understand that Jesus was the mediator between, amen, God and man. Oh, but now there is a church, amen, that is the organism, amen, that brings and introduces man unto Jesus, because we don't have Christ Jesus living amongst us anymore. He's been crucified, he's risen, but he's ascended and living in glory today. But the ministry of reconciliation, amen, the ministry, the job that Christ came to do, amen, to a second part of it has been committed unto us. I've done everything that I need to do in order to save humanity, but it is the church's responsibility now. It is your responsibility to go into the highways and into the byways and compel the lost to come, that my house may be full. Amen. There's not going to be another Jesus that's going to separate himself and go to the top of a hill and we're all going to bring people unto Jesus there. There's not going to be another Christ, amen, that's going to step upon the seas of Gadara and set the demoniac free. There's not going to be another Christ that's going to take the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and break them and give them to feed the hungry. But I'll tell you what there is going to be. There's going to be a church. There's going to be a body of believers. Amen. That's got this ministry of reconciliation. That has got to offer this lost world Jesus Christ. You've got to go. You've got to find the hungry. For blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. But they need a church. They don't need a church on 1200 Henry. They need a church living next door to them. They need a church that works with them. They need a church that eats with them. They need a church that waits on them. They need a church in every area and situation of their life. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But sin has grown. Talking with my pastor several years ago, I told him, I said, Bishop Johnson, I said, this is what I'm facing in the church. This is what I'm dealing with. And what would you advise me to do? And he told me this. He said, Brother Mark, he said, you understand something. You're living in a different generation. I pastored for 30-something years, and I never faced what you're facing today. Sin abounding because the devil holds no bars. Amen. The devil is out to do whatever he's got to get to do to get you. If you'll accept riches for salvation, he'll give you the riches. If you'll accept fame for salvation, he'll give you fame.
Amen. But if he's got to take you to the bottom and bust you down on the bottom, amen, then he'll do that. He'll do whatever it takes, amen, in order to share his eternity with you. There's got to be a church that'll stand up in defense of the lost. There's got to be a church that says, amen, we're not content with just 35 or 40. We're not content, amen, with 3,000 or 4,000. As long as there is a lost soul in the city of Augusta, as long as there is a lost soul in the Butler County region, as long as there is a lost soul in this area that we can affect, I've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. I've got to reach the lost. I got to pray. I got to fast. I got to do everything that I can. I've got to witness. I've got to outreach. I got to tell somebody about Jesus so that they're not lost. That cashier at Wendy's is lost. That cashier at Dylan's is lost. Amen. That waitress at Applebee's is lost. Amen. Your neighbors are lost. Amen. I'm just throwing things out there. I don't know your neighbors. I don't know the cashier. But I'm just telling you that everywhere you go, you are confronted by lost people. It's time for the church to open their ears up and listen. Listen for the burden of the lost. Listen for the cry of the hurting. Listen for the plea, amen, of the bound and destined to hell, as they're praying that somebody would hear me. Somebody would answer. Somebody, I'm sending out an SOS. I need salvation. Parents that are lost, friends that are lost, children that are lost, co-workers that are lost. Everybody around you, associated with you, lost. And the church goes on sleeping. Hey, I'm in the church. What does it matter? I'm saved. I'm okay. I'm saved. That's good enough, isn't it? I mean, that's what matters, is that I'm saved. It doesn't matter that my neighbor's saved. Oh, God, forgive us for that mentality. God, forgive us for that spirit about us. Amen. We ought to wake up every day saying, God, would you open up a door of utterance that I would be able to witness to somebody. Amen. Let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and magnify you. Let me just be a Christian in front of them, that in their time of hardship, amen, that they would know who to come to. I want to be available to them. And when they cry out to you, God, I want you to be able to put me in their life. I want you to be able to position me. I want to reach somebody. That ought to be the cry of every saint of God. I got to reach somebody. I got to win somebody. It ought to bother us when we don't have a home Bible study to teach. It ought to bother the church when we don't have a guest in the house of God. It ought to bother us when there's no sinners in the house of God. Amen. There needs to be a church that has a desire. Oh God, we gotta see somebody saved. Wanna see people in the altar praying. Wanna see people in the baptismal tank being having their sins washed away. God, let it affect me. Let it affect the way that I eat. Let it affect the way that I sleep. Let it affect the way that I walk. Let it affect the way that I talk. But put me in somebody's path. See them saved. An SOS. An SOS. Save our soul. Salvation of sinners. Save our souls. That's what the SOS meant. I'm getting ready to close, but let me talk to you here tonight. An SOS was developed mainly for ships and their captains.
It was an emergency declaration that something was wrong. SOS was thought to mean at one particular time, save our ship. And there was another acronym that was formed for that. And it was also put out there, and it said, the SOS men, save our souls. In other words, we're going down. There is no hope. At this point in time, there is nothing that we can do. Save our soul. Our destiny, our lives, our souls are now in the hands of somebody else. There's nothing that we can do at this point of time. Our future is in the hands of whoever can hear this. Save our soul. Save our souls. And somebody else put out another acronym. The SOS meant. And that was to send our succor. Send out succor. In other words, assistance and support at times of hardships and distress. And so the captains of these vessels, of these ships that would be out in the waters, nowhere near land, they were dependent upon somebody else hearing the SOS, understanding that they were doomed. They were lost. It was over. And so they would send out the SOS, which was just a series of beeps, dashes, and dots in Morse code that would go out. Go out. Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. And everybody that was around within the vicinity of hearing that would know somebody's in trouble. And they would turn their attention to the teleprompter, and they would begin to listen, because here in just a few minutes there were going to come coordinates. There was going to come more things. And so they would begin to write down the letters and begin to spell out words, and they would know, oh, this is the Titanic, and they've hit an iceberg, and they need help. One replied back and said, should I tell my captain to alter his course to come back to help you? And he said, in a Morse code, he said, yes, it's an emergency. We're lost. An SOS. Send out help. Save our souls. Save our ships. As I began to study into the Titanic, I found some things that I have preached two or three other messages concerning the Titanic, and I didn't have this. And so I found some other things concerning the Titanic that maybe I read in before time that I just didn't pick up and put on paper somewhere, but this stood out. And so there was an SOS that was sent out from the Titanic. Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. And those that could understand Morse code would begin to listen, begin to write down coordinates, would begin to alter their course to go back to save them. Ultimately, nobody in that vicinity was close enough to come back and to save them. But there was one ship. This one ship, by the name of the SS Californian, was the closest to the Titanic. They were within 6 miles of the Titanic. As a matter of fact, they sent out an emergency warning to the Titanic, not knowing what it was or who it was, the Titanic. They knew that it was a passenger boat. And they knew the waters that they were in were extremely dangerous. And so they sent out a signal to that passenger boat and said, be careful. The waters are ice packed. And at that point in time, after sending out the signal, they shut their boat down and parked for the night. And they turned off their radio. Turned off their radio. And signals of the SOS from the Titanic went unheard on the SS Californian. One of the watchmen would see certain lights flicker, and they thought, oh, they've changed their course. They're going to be okay. They saw danger. And he reported that to have happened sometime around that 11:40 time. And that was right about the time that the Titanic actually hit the iceberg. And so it began to sink in the ships, and the ship began to put out SOS. And many ships within the area altered their course and turned around, but the closest one to them was not able to get them and to get to that vicinity until after 4 o'clock in the morning. And the Titanic has officially sunk sometime a little after 2. Only taken just a few hours to sink the unsinkable ship. Thousands, 1,000, 1,500, I want to say it was, that passed away. And there were some that were saved. But as I read through this tragic story, I read of lifeboats that was put in the water and the people that were put upon these lifeboats. And as the ship broke in half and began to sink to the bottom, and people jumped. And they did not die because that they drowned, but they died because of hypothermia in a water that was just a few degrees over freezing itself. And the people that were in the water began to cry out for help. Help! Help us! And the history teaches us that the people that was in those lifeboats rowed away from those that was crying out for help, because they were afraid that taking on too many people would sink their vessel and that they would die as well. They were afraid that taking on a person would capsize them, would flip them, and then they would be in the water. And so everybody that would yell for help, they would row away from them, except for one lifeboat, lifeboat number 5. It came back to the area to pick up those that was crying for help, and it picked up 5. 3 of them survived. 2 of them died upon that boat. But as the Titanic was sinking, they began to realize that they didn't have everything that they needed to be saved. Number one, they had nowhere near enough lifeboats. The rule of the time was just that any boat over a certain size had to have 16. They had 16. They should have had almost double that. And the rule afterward would change. And another thing that they did not have was the emergency flares. All they had was the white flares. Red was emergency. And so literally, the SS Californian sat in cold, dark waters and watched the Titanic send white flares into the sky. And the watchman thought to himself, I wonder if I should alert the captain Typically, this doesn't mean anything. And so he went down to the captain quarters. And he awoke the captain. He said, "Captain, there is a ship that is off in the distance. And they are shooting out white flares." And he said, "Everything will be okay." He said, "If it was an emergency, they would send out red flares. White flares are just beacons of a location, just to let people know where they are." Oftentimes, ships would shoot white flares into the sky beyond the horizon to allow and to know other ships that they was in that. They didn't have radar like they do now. But they would shoot every once in a while a white flare to let them know, "Hey, we're here. Let's not get on a course that we're going to crash." And they would know these beacons of location. And so the captain told the man, he said, "It'll be okay." At this point in time, they still could have turned around and went and saved everybody on the Titanic. But the captain went back to sleep. And the individual, I'm trying to find his name or his position here in my notes. But anyways, I don't even know if I got it in there. But anyways, when the Californian decided these are too dangerous of waters to go through, they shut it down and they sent everybody to bed to go to sleep. And the Titanic going down began to send out SOS. "Somebody help us. We're sinking. Our lives are in somebody else's hands. Somebody help us. We're lost. There's nothing that we can do. We've done everything that we can. We've put several of the ladies upon these boats, and they're full. There's nothing. There's nothing that we can do. Please, somebody help us." Somebody came and told the captain, "Hey, we've got these white flares. Where's the red ones? We don't have red ones." And shoot those. Do whatever you got to do. Let them. Somebody's got to know. Somebody's got to see. Somebody's got to come to our rescue. And white flare after white flare after white flare went off. And the Californians sit back there and watch the whole thing happen. And the Titanic sank. Sometime after 4 o'clock in the morning, a ship pulled up to that area and found only a few lifeboats there. And was able to take everybody that was upon those lifeboats and to save them and to help them. And sometime after 5 in the morning, the Californians started stirring and people started waking up. And they went and they turned on the machine for the Morse code. And they heard, "What is this?" And they began to write down, "Oh, there's a ship that sunk last night." "Where?" "These are the, that's right here. That's where we're at." They said, "We're close. We can help." And they turned the boat around and they went to where the Titanic was, but there was nothing to help. There was nothing to fix. There was nothing to offer. They had slept through the whole thing. I just wonder today what the church is doing in these perilous times, in perilous waters, where the devil's doing everything that he can to sink the church. The old ship of Zion. And is the church saying, "Hey, you guys out there need to be careful. These are perilous times. And until then, we're signing off." In the 11:40 hour, 20 minutes before midnight, and the church turns the signals off. and goes to sleep. And the whole time there is a lost and a dying world out there that's crying, somebody help us. Somebody help us. The midnight cry is getting ready to happen. Is there anybody that can help me? And they're sending out white beacons. I'm over here. Yeah, we see you. You have a good day. I'm over here. God bless. I need help. You know, if they really needed help, they'd be sending up red beacons. Hey, buddy, we see you. In defense of the lost. In defense of the lost. Paul told the church in Corinth, as we stand here tonight, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're lost, groping around in darkness. Somebody said that the Titanic sank, ran into an iceberg because it was perilous storms. No, there were no storms. The skies were dark and black with white shining stars in the distance. As a matter of fact, history tells us that there were some that were on the Titanic that would look at the stars and mistake it for a beacon. Help is on the way. Help wasn't on the way. It was a clear night. There were no storm clouds. Just cold, dark, perilous waters. That's where this world is. Cold, dark, perilous waters. They're crying out for help. Can the church hear them? Can you hear them? Oh, that's not what they're going to sound like. They're not shooting up red beacons. They're shooting up flares that we have mistaken. And we've said, hey, I see where you are. They're brazen in their attitude. Brazen in their demeanor. They're cocky. They're arrogant. They're gangsters. In need of no help. That's the image that we get. We're seeing white flares. If they really wanted help, they'd come running to us and fall down at our feet with red flares, grabbing our ankles saying, please tell me what I've got to do to be saved. All I see is white flares. That's all I see. But yet under all of that callousness and under all of that hardness, under all of that machoism, there's a heart that doesn't have a red flare to send out, doesn't know how to send a red flare out. He's crying out, I've got to have help. I've got to have help. That white flare says, hey, we've got it all together. We're okay, we're fine. White flare after white flare. Everything's cool here. We're just letting everybody know where we are. But in reality, they're crying out for help. I need help. I'm lost. Save our ship. They feel like their ship is sinking. Save our ship. Save our souls. I'm miserable. I'm in a wreck. Messed up in life. I don't know what to do. Don't know where to go. I don't have a lifeboat to jump into. I'm sending out an SOS. Somebody help me. Help me. Is there a church that still has the radio on? Is there a church that still has their feelers out? Is there a church that's still tuned in the spirit that can hear the SOS? Or has the church turned it all off and has gone to sleep? In defense of the lost. In defense of the lost. What about all those kids that are running up and down the street? Lost. What about all those people at the job site? Lost. All of those friends and acquaintances, lost. All of those people in school, lost. Workers, lost. Family, lost. Acquaintances, lost. Somebody help us. Somebody help us. Esther! Think not that God has put you here for such a time as this. There's a reason that you work where you work. There's a reason why you're where you are. There's a reason why you're acquainted with the people that you're acquainted with. There's a reason why, amen, you've got family members that have reached out to you. There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason. Somebody's sending out an SOS. Save our soul. Save our soul. Save our soul. Send out help. Send out succor. Send out assistance. Send out help. Somebody help. Can the church hear it? Can the church hear it? It's an SOS from the lost. I need salvation. Send out salvation. Save our soul. I'm lost. Somebody help.